It was 2 years ago that Erica Brannick was in Boston to watch her mom race in the Boston Marathon. She was along the finish line when those bombs went off. She joins us to tell her story. Erica, take us back to that day.
I was at the marathon to cheer my mom on, who was running her first marathon, or her first Boston Marathon. It was a Christmas present from my mom and my stepdad, with my sister, my brother-in-law, and myself all there. And we had spent the day exploring the city a little bit, got my mom off on the bus and said goodbye to her, and went down to just past the Forum. There's a Walgreens. We went in there for a couple of things and came out, and then went up to the railing of the race. Somebody moved and said, "Here, do you want this spot?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, God, of course." And then we decided that we needed to move closer down to the finish so that we could actually see her cross the finish line. And that was about two and a half blocks away from where we had originally been. And we got up there, and it hadn't even been more than maybe five or so minutes up there. And my sister and I were having an argument about the fact that I didn't really want to move, and she was telling me that it would be okay. And my brother-in-law had taken a few steps back to get a good vantage point to see my mom cross and get a good picture of her. And my sister saw an opening in front of us that somebody was moving, and she kind of gave me a little nudge forward to push me into that spot, and then the bomb went off. And immediately we were all separated. I felt myself, you know, I didn't actually hear the bomb go off, and I think that's because my eardrums were blown out so quickly, and I felt like I was falling back slowly, and then I blacked out for a moment and then woke up, and the sky was filled with smoke, and there were sirens and people crying and screaming, and I felt like somebody was lying on me, so I was pushing them off of them, and I felt like my leg was broken, like my knee was twisted, and I was like, "God, man, I'm going to be out of work for a couple of weeks because my leg is broken." And then I kind of started to take assessment of my body, and could kind of sense that something was really wrong. And then I realized that I wasn't near my sister or my brother-in-law, and I started screaming for their names, or screaming for them, and looking around. And then I decided to reach down, and I touched my leg, and I felt warm, like flesh. And I pulled my hand back up, and it was just covered in blood. And I started to feel myself kind of slip away, and, had the whole white light, feeling the pull kind of thing. And I just sat there and I started talking to God, and I said, "I'm not ready to go. You're not going to take me. You need to find me help." And I opened my eyes, and Amanda North was right there. So she actually kind of grabbed my attention and was, you know, asking me, "What's your name? Where do you live?" Like, trying to keep me conscious while she was getting, you know, screaming for help for me. And she told me her name, and I originally thought that she said that her name was Joan, and that she was from California, and she thought that I told her my name was Irene. So we both had blown eardrums, but she helped get help to me, and actually they asked for a belt that somebody they could use as a tourniquet. So she took her belt off, and they wrapped it around my leg and put me on a gurney and then put me on a stretcher and basically pulled us apart. We were holding hands the whole time, and got me in an ambulance, ran me straight into the OR. I blacked out for a period of time in the elevator. And I found out later that my blood pressure had dropped so low to 70 over 10 that they had to resuscitate me. And then I woke up and I was lying on an operating table, and I kept asking him, "What's wrong? What happened?" And, you know, nobody would tell me what happened. I still at this point had thought like a transformer had blown or something. And I just kept saying, "Somebody's got to call my mom. You got to call my mom. She's under my phone under ice. Here's my password or my passcode to my phone." And, then they just told me, they're like, you're badly injured. Your legs are really bad. We're going to do everything we can to get you better." And then they put me out for surgery, and I woke up the day after. They had kept me sedated for a while, and I woke up, and my mom was there, and I was still intubated. And I just started crying when I saw her, and then I started motioning in the air that I wanted to write, and they got me a piece of paper and a marker, and I kept asking them questions, and I said, what happened to Nicole and Michael? What did they tell my kids? And I was referring to my students at my class that I taught. And I said, what happened to my leg? Because I knew instantly that something was wrong. And my mom looked at my nurse, and she said, how am I going to tell her? And the nurse said, we'll tell her together. And she looked at me and she said, they had to amputate your leg. And I just started crying. But at that time, I think I was like, okay, I'm going to get it out, but I'm going to be okay. And then I stayed there for a couple of days and spent 50 days in the hospital before I came back to Maryland.
You spent 50 days in the hospital, more than any other survivor. How did you motivate yourself through this long recovery?
I think the main thing for me was having the huge support that I had behind me. My mom was there every single day with me. My dad came up from Florida. My aunts and uncles came to visit. I had friends come that stayed with me. And just having my normalcy around me a little bit helped me to kind of keep my goals in mind of what I needed to do for it. But right after, I think as soon as I knew that my sister and my brother-in-law were okay, I was like, okay, we're all alive. We can handle this. And I think the day that they took the tube out of my mouth, my dad was actually there for it. And, he kept telling me, he was like, you're going to get through this. You're tough. You'll make it through. And I whispered to him, and my nurse, he couldn't hear me. And he looked at my nurse and he said, what did she say? And my nurse goes, she said she's a tough cookie. So that became my little mantra, I guess you would say, is, you're a tough cookie. I can get through this. I can do anything. And I think my sense of humor as well kept me through it. I mean, I was making jokes while I was still in the ICU that I was going to get half-price pedicures and good parking. I wasn't always the most appropriate, but I think the team that took care of me knew my sense of humor, and they kept it up with me. And, I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it wasn't ever going to be the same, but I wasn't going to let it defeat me. And I think the motivation that I got from my students to not let them see it defeat me and see that, I've always told them, if you have, if something scares you or if something goes wrong, you don't shy away from it. You go face first and you defeat it, and you're going to be better for it. And I wanted to be that teacher that practiced what I taught and not, just said it. So they were a huge motivation for me. And then setting goals for myself. I still set goals for myself all the time. And accepting the fact that I was going to have setbacks, and I've had a lot of them over the last almost 2 years, but never giving up and going, okay, this is temporary. I'm not going to be defeated, I think were the most important things and how I got through it.
You could have told me you didn't want to do this interview and not go public with what you went through. Why are you choosing to tell your story?
I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was saying, you think that it just, at some point you get a leg and it gets better and it's done. And I think what most people don't realize is that it's not just over. Like it's a constant thing that you're working on with yourself. And especially when you go through a traumatic event like this, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bombing. It could be a car accident. It could be, a sports accident, and you get seriously injured and it completely changes your life, but it doesn't have to change who you are. And truthfully, through all of this, it's made me a much better version of myself. And I wanted to make sure that people understood that, you don't have to let one event in your life define you of who you are. You let yourself define how you deal with that situation. And to, also let people know that you're not alone. There are tons of people out there who have been through horrible situations that you can lean on for things. And I think getting my story out and showing my determination of how I've not given up could hopefully, and what I've always wanted to do, is inspire other people to keep going.
I know it's a tough fight. How are you coming along in this recovery process?
Well, I got my prosthetic in October of last year. So I've had it for about a year now, and I've had adjustments to it and had to get the socket changed as, you know, my limb shrinks down. I've had a couple more surgeries to revise my limb. I had one last August of 2014 that, or I'm sorry, August of 2013 to repair my right leg and save that so that I could have function in it. And then this past year, I had surgeries in January and February and June, and I had one this past December. So I'm now up to 21 surgeries since the bombing. And I have one more to go to do some scar cleanup. But, you know, each time that I come back and I have to push myself a little bit harder, it gets a little bit easier. And I'm walking better. I just moved into my own place that I bought in August. And I've set it up here and I'm living by myself. And I bought a kitten in October. And I'm driving and I'm finishing up grad school. And, you know, I think my goal is just to keep pushing forward of what I'm doing and to graduate and finish that goal that I set so long ago. But then, you know, I kind of am going to need to reevaluate what I want to do once I graduate. And do I want to go back into the classroom, or do I want to, you know, go out and do some helping with, you know, survivors of different events and traumatic events? I've been able to do some great things through all of this, and people have told me how much I've helped them. So I feel like I have this story to get out, and I've been able to help kids too. So it's kind of like an inner struggle of where do I go from here and things like that. But I think I've come a long way since I left Boston.